my good friend Kari Arfstrom, okay? And Kari has been in the education business for a long time, all right? She started off as a teacher and then wound up getting into the wonderful world of professional education associations, working with such wonderful associations as AESA, the Association of Educational Service Agencies, which we hope to have on the show one of these days, and also COSIN, the Consortium for School Networking, which is a wonderful, wonderful organization that deals very strongly in educational technology. And Kari was over there as Director of Communications for both of those, and she has called back in. So before we lose her again, Ms. Kari, are you there?
I am, Larry. How are you doing?
I'm fine. What happened? Did you like accidentally your thumb hit the receiver thing and boom, you cut yourself off or what?
It wasn't me. I'm pretty sure it was on your end. I can't say for sure, though.
I'll have to talk to my loyal staff about that.
You
make
do
sure
that.
Those people are gotten rid of and sent to the black hole. Right?
Exactly.
We have a special place for people who cut off Kari Arfstrom, for goodness sakes. Okay. Yeah, I wanted to talk to you, Kari, and I build this show, and I believe this. You are an educational thought leader, and you've been in a unique position, okay? You have a doctorate, first of all. What's your doctorate in?
It is in education, leadership, and policy, but more
so
exactly, and I studied the entrepreneurial characteristics of superintendents and ESAs. And entrepreneurial characteristics are it's a very interesting field, and I was cutting edge, and I didn't even know it.
Wow. Well, what are now you said you have to help me here, the entrepreneurial characteristics of superintendents who work at ESAs?
Yeah, I wanted to concentrate on those regional
educational entities. By the way, I have to say something, if I may. Not everybody knows what an ESA is. That's the word for educational service agency, but they have different names in different states.
Absolutely. Both
right up here, they're
New
called
York
educational cooperatives, go ahead, you tell them.
Yep, BOCES in New York and Colorado, intermediate units in Pennsylvania, education service districts, education service centers, county offices of education, on and on. But in national and federal legislation, they're called ESAs, so that's how we refer to them nationally.
Very good. I didn't know that last little bit, educational service agencies, and I do want to get them on the show. So
well,
you're going to help
I
me
can
with
help
that.
Facilitate that. No problem. They have a new executive director, and he's just getting his feet underneath him. They just had a wonderful conference last week, which I attended, and we will make it happen sooner than later.
That is good, Kari. And with your expertise, and I don't know if you heard me while you were cut off for a second, but I was telling the folks that you were the Director of Communications, and correct me if I have the wrong titles, but Director of Communications at COSIN, which is the Consortium for School Networking, and also at AESA. Prior to that, any others that I'm missing, or are they the two?
And don't forget AASA, the superintendents, the local school district superintendents. That's where I got my feet wet, so.
I did not know that. They were just on the show on Friday.
I know. You had my former boss, Bruce Hunter, who
it's
just a wonderful lobbyist, taught me everything I know in this area. So
he's a great guy. I love having him on. He always brings on great guys. We had Joe Cirasolo from who was the former president
Connecticut,
of AASA.
Yes.
And he was on, and I can't remember his name, it's driving me nuts, the gentleman who runs the New Hampshire Superintendents Association. And we're going to keep that up because it's fun to get the state views.
Isn't it?
So you have been around the world of professional associations, and you told me that I think it's been 16 years that you've been doing this, so you started when you were 11, am I correct?
Exactly, and don't forget, prior to that, I was on Capitol Hill, and I'm a former teacher, so add it up.
Wow, so you're 29 years old.
Exactly.
Right? I just added it up on my little computer, like Stephen Colbert. 29 years old. Is that correct?
Exactly. You are
absolutely correct. I thought I was right. And people say I'm not. Mike Shaughnessy, who's the president of the National Council of Teachers of Mathematics, he'll be on Wednesday. He's on my show a lot, and every time I say I'm bad at math, he gets mad at me.
No, don't.
Because his contention is everybody can be good at math, they just give up on it, and I do
agree. I agree.
I do agree with that, absolutely. All right, talk about, for a second, before we get into what you're doing now at Kari Arfstrom Consulting, tell the folks a little bit about what's going on with the world of professional associations. You know, here on Education Talk Radio, we work, I'm going to say over 60 now. We bring on about 60 of the professional associations many times over the course of the year because I honestly feel that they are really a font of knowledge about each section that they're expert in. But You're on the inside. I'm on the outside, and I know them well, but I'm on the outside. You're on the inside. So talk about kind of what they do and why they are so important these days, and I really believe they're more important these days than ever before. I hope you agree.
I do, Larry, and this is one of the things that I'm passionate about, and obviously the reason that I'm here in Washington. I did move away, actually, for 15 months, and, you know, Potomac fever drew me right back, and it was because of that membership-based association. I wanted to know who I served. And I think, you know, one of the things that I always encourage people when I go out and speak to people, speak to groups of educators, is find out which association or associations fit your needs as a professional and join them, pay your dues, and get involved. You know, there's some, you know, I call them the big six, you know, the major associations here in town, AASA, NSBA, Elementary and Secondary School Principals, and both teacher unions.
And NSBA, you know, and those, by the way, NSBA is the, because it's like acronym land out there, we're used to it, it's the National School Boards Association.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
you go through these. I'll tell you my favorite in a second. You go through all these acronyms that can make people crazy. Get alphabet.
Oh, I know it, and I apologize. I try not to speak.
No, you don't have to apologize. We're used to my favorite though. I'm sure you know Susan Patrick over at
iNACL. Yes,
at
iNACL. They just had their annual conference. But
and
that's my carry on.
They crack me up because iNACL is INACOL, but it stands for the International Association or International. An International Association for K-12 Online Learning, but there's a C instead of a K.
Well, they changed their name a while ago, so I think it's a holdover from that.
I have told my friend Susan simply to change the C to a K because it's the same exact sound.
It is. It is.
My friend Susan will not do that. I don't know why she doesn't do that.
You know, the whole branding has already been established. So.
Yeah, I know.
So, but to get back to your original question, you know, after, you know, the big organizations, as I refer to them, especially for educators, practicing educators in the field, then find 1, 2, 3 of those smaller associations, just like you mentioned, COSIN, iNACL, you know, who really fit your niche, because that's where you're going to get your specialized professional development from. And I think now more than ever, you need to know the research, you need to know who your colleagues are, you need to know who is saying what, who's doing what, what's coming up, what's in, what's out. And professional associations can be, you know, your eyes and ears on a national level. Plus, this day and age, you have to have someone babysitting your issues on Capitol Hill. And the vast majority of them have lobbyists and advocates that, you know, will look out for your best interests.
That's true indeed. And you just said something very interesting. Well, everything you're saying is interesting. But what you said, what struck me was, you know, so many of the districts, and the budgets just are terrible
now.
So they're cutting back on professional development. But the associations are a wealth. They're like Scrooge McDuck's money bin of great materials and all that sort of stuff. And you can unlock that key if you start working with the right professional associations.
Absolutely. And they should pay for themselves. You know, and a lot of them have, the rates are actually not that high. I would disagree with school districts who think this is the first thing that should be cut, because you still need to get your professional development, your ongoing systemic professional development, not just a one-day conference that you attend. You know, so, you know, $120 here, $300 there, you know, a school district membership there, it all adds up. And like I said, they should pay for themselves on the information that you get back. Maybe it leads to, you know, a small grant, or maybe you have that aha moment and it's something that you can bring back to your classroom or your school district that radically improves student learning. And, you know, those are the things that a membership should do to pay for itself over, you know, the year.
Absolutely, I agree with you. All right, now you recently left COSIN to start your own company.
I did.
Okay, and let's just do this. Kari Arstrom is our guest. Okay, she is an expert. Doctor, may I, Doctor Kari Arstrom? May I?
Yes, of course.
Okay, Doctor Kari Arstrom is give me the educational leadership.
Head leadership and policy. George Mason University. Nope, George Mason.
George Mason University. Good basketball team, if I remember correctly.
A few years ago.
Yeah, I think they're pretty good. Okay. Yeah. So at any rate, Arfstrom Consulting, you can learn more at Arfstrom, A-R-F-S-T-R-O-M. That's Norwegian, I'm assuming?
Yes, it is.
There you go. Arfstrom.net. Okay, and it's Kari Arfstrom who we're talking about. Let me read the this interesting little thing on here. Arfstrom Consulting specializes in the following areas to assist small and medium-sized education companies, which is important. I want to talk about that for a second, to develop and sustain strategic alliances with K-12 education associations and their members. And as you know, I am a firm believer, again, in the power of the associations and the need for these associations,
absolutely,
which is why I have so many of them come on as my guests. They are literally a font of knowledge. So you're taking your expertise and applying that to the companies. And, Kari, I have to say something which I've said a million times, and I don't know if I've ever said it when you were on the air. And it is quite simply that this market, and I deal strictly in this market, I'm with the people who are in this market, who are producing products, et cetera, and I'm telling you, nobody cares more that these products work and get out there once they do work than the education industry to the teachers. The teachers or the department head sees the sales rep come in. But the sales rep is the tip of the iceberg.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, and well, I'll let you know more about it than I do, so why don't you talk about that for a second? What are you doing in B2E, B2E, the B2E marketplace? What is that?
Well, everyone's heard of
B2E. Let me say that again, B2E.
B2E, exactly,
yes.
Business to education. And, you know, everyone talks about the B2B, the business-to-business, you know, piece of it, but that's not what I'm doing. I'm doing business to education, and so I can't say I coined that term, but I've been using it for a number of years now, and that's exactly what you read the tagline from my website, is I want to work with small and medium-sized companies, those that have a research-proven product that they want to get out into the marketplace, but, you know, maybe they're based, you know, more than likely they're based outside of the Beltway, and they're just not sure which
right.
associations to deal with, how to market correctly, are they using, they might be all MBAs and tech geeks, and they're not sure if they're using the right words to engage educators, and it's to form that bridge in communication and look at their marketing, their sales, their collateral, you know, who they're working with, are they getting to the right people? Are they working with the right states? And so I'm here to help those businesses to increase their visibility, which hopefully helps their bottom line, which, you know, as long as it is for the betterment of the teachers and the students.
I think it's an interesting niche.
Mm-hmm. I hope
you
so.
You found yourself an interesting niche, young lady. That's pretty cool.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think that's really a good idea. You know, you said with the companies outside the Beltway, that's like 99% of them, I think.
Absolutely. As
yeah,
there's
very few in D.C. The only one I can think of is my Blackboard.
Blackboard, you know, K-12 is just
Oh, maybe
outside.
Promethean. Is Promethean there, too?
No, they're in Atlanta. They're headquartered
okay.
in Atlanta for the U.S. But, I mean, a lot of them have offices here. Don't get me wrong there. You know, they all have their lobbyists here. They all have their activists here and so forth. But their headquarters, you know, are elsewhere in the field
mm-hmm.
where they're doing research, where it's been developed, where they're finding, you know, their venture capitalists, their angel funding, where they're working feet on the ground. And, you know, and that's what we need, are people who have that opportunity to prove that, you know, their product or their service is outstanding, and then let's share it with everyone. Don't keep it just tucked in a little area. Let's take it national or international.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, if you were there, I'm going to go nuts, but I don't think you were. You weren't at SIIA 2 weeks ago, were you?
I was not, because it was AESA's annual conference at the same
oh,
time.
Oh, right, same week, the conference.
Yeah,
right, right.
But
if you were there, because I was there, and if you were there and I didn't see you, I would have gone crazy. But you couldn't have missed me. You couldn't have missed me because I was wearing my beret like a lighthouse the whole
exactly.
time.
Exactly. No, I
you know?
Missed it, and I wanted to be there, but my client needed me at AESA, and that's, you know, where my passion lies with, you know, my former members, and so I wanted to see them.
Is it morally ethical? Do you want to name your client?
Can I?
Sure.
I'm working with Tom Lapping at JDL Horizon, and he owns EduVision. And sort of think
yes.
of it what YouTube is to the masses. EduVision is for schools, districts, and service agencies, and it's a great product that he has, and I'm very pleased to be working with him and his team.
Well, that is wonderful. There's no reason in the world why you can't mention that. You're our guest. Guests are allowed to say what they want, for goodness sake. And thank you for asking. But that's just fine. I think that's great. I think it's important that people recognize exactly what you're doing out there mm-hmm. because, as I say, this is a cool niche. I mean, because I really believe in the power of these associations. I
absolutely.
Really, really do. And I just think it's great. I think it's great that you're taking the two things, educational strategies and your role from years in the association,
mm-hmm.
and putting them together and making them work. That's pretty good. I've got to tell you, Chief.
Well, thank you.
You.
That's and the next time card. I'm on the show, I think I'll probably have, I'm going to guess, at least two new clients in the next month or two. So stay tuned for more.
I will stay tuned for more, not to worry. Now, you're also doing blogging, right?
I am, which is really fun.
Yes.
So, you know, the Arfstrom Consulting is the majority of my business, and I'd like to cap it at 3 or 4 clients because I figure, you know, that's as much as I can give them and do a good job, which is important to me.
Well, that's
and then,
$14 million a year. That should do it.
Exactly. That should do it for me,
that's
right?
No problem. Yeah,
and the other day a week, I really want to develop my blog and my writing and speaking engagements, and I want to look at the future
good.
Of K-12 education. And I'm doing it in a scientific way. I am a member of the Professional Association for Futurists. It's called the World Future Society, and I've been a member for a number of years. And again, you know, educators should develop passions outside of the classroom and outside of the school.
Well, I have to ask you something.
You know,
I have to ask you something. It's the World Future Society.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to be sure that they are selling memberships beyond 2012, correct?
Yes.
But I'm worried about this Mayan thing. Right.
Okay, that's very funny, Larry.
Yeah, if they stop selling memberships, okay, let me know. Put me on your speed dial, Kari. Just let me know. Okay.
That's very good. But it's not a crystal ball. It is very scientific based.
Okay.
So, yes. And so I've started a website, and it's I scan the literature, which leads me to think about what trends are out there that can then lead to a forecast. And it's been really exciting. I've only had it, I only started the company October 1st, and I started blogging in November. But I try to post once or twice a week to the main
mm-hmm.
blog page. I have some other personal things on there that people might find interesting as well. I write about books and articles that I found interesting, and then, you know, art things around here in D.C. I like to support the arts. But for the, you know, the main blogging piece, I really would like to turn this more into articles. I have a book in mind, speaking things. And so I really would like to turn this into a long-term outlet for me to, you know, and I'm going to, I don't know if you know Gary Marks or what he's done, but, you know, Gary used to be over at AASA when I worked there, and he's got 2 books in this area. But just between you and me, Larry, because, of course, I don't want anyone to steal this idea, so this is just between us right now, but I'd really like to write a book in this area and really, you know, share this information with educators, get their input along the way, and particularly students. I'm not sure people are really listening to students as a group to be studied right now. There's some great work out there. I know. I just blogged this morning.
It's funny you should say that. I'll compare the students to the workers of the
mm-hmm.
1890s, early 1900s, and nobody was expressing anything. There's no lobbyists for students in Washington.
Yeah, you know what? I think Michelle Rhee's doing a little in this area, but you're absolutely right. Who's asking?
Yeah, she is actually. You're right.
Student.
She would be the best. You're absolutely
mm-hmm.
right. She would be the best example.
Yeah, but, you know, and again, she's, you know, she's outside the Beltway where she should absolutely be, and she spends her time between, you know, was it Kentucky or Tennessee? I can't think of it right now, in California. But good for her. I fully support what she's doing. But, yeah, students need to have a bigger voice in this arena, and I'd like to be the one to assist them in that area.
That'd be good, Kari.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So, yeah, so
All
I'm
right.
really interested in this area, and something I'm pursuing on my own, but hopefully it will lead to bigger and better things.
Well, this is good, and I mean, there's so much good stuff happening out there, and I got to tell you, there's so many great products out there, and they just mm-hmm. got to get out. They just got to be out there, and
I agree.
You know,
there's some shysters out there as well.
I see them when I go to EdNet and SIIA and all these wonderful meetings and conventions that we go to. What was going on at AESA?
Well,
anything exciting?
essay was at the Broadmoor this year, which I have to tell you, it was a little bit of a boondoggle. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Right.
It was lovely. Have you ever been to the
I have not been.
Broadmoor?
I have not
Oh,
been.
My goodness gracious. Now, it was off-season, so the hotel rooms were, you know, adequately priced for those, you know, bookkeepers out there wondering about it.
Yeah.
But it's just a lovely property, and it was just great to go in, be surrounded by, you know, 800, you know, close professional friends, to catch up with them. Their exhibit floor looked fabulous. Their concurrent sessions were well attended. Great keynote speakers out of Corwin Press provided two of them. And it was just
Corwin's
a great time.
Company. Corwin's
yeah,
a terrific company.
Absolutely. And it was just a great time to be with them and, you know, just to see what they're doing when it comes to shared services and cooperative purchasing and just making sure that, you know, things are at the regional level are really affecting what's happening in the classroom.
This is good. This is good. And do people really understand what the ESAs do? I mean, is that do they understand that most people don't even know they exist?
I would agree with you, Larry, on that. And that's they're the unsung heroes in education. And if I may quickly, and again, you should get Lee on it at some point. But, you know, they exist in 45 states.
I'm going to hold your feet to the fire on that, young lady. You got to get them
okay.
for me. Okay.
So, but yeah, but they exist in 45 states. Some are more established. Some states are more established than others. But, you know, think of it. There are 14,400 school districts, and we obviously know there are 50 state education agencies. And so in 45 states, there are these regional entities. And on average, they have 27 public school districts in their catchment area. A lot of times they also have the private schools. They work with the homeschools, the incarcerated youth. A lot of times nonprofits and charities that also work with youth. A lot of times they're the conveners of the business people, the clergy in the town. So they really are the ones that hold, you know, the space for people to get together to talk about education. And they provide all sorts of services. They're mainly known for providing special education service, services, transportation, food purchasing, cooperative purchasing.
Well, they act, and this has been common in the economy over the last 10 years, but they act almost like a group purchasing association.
That's one of the things that they do, absolutely.
Yeah.
But just one of the many things. That
But it does allow multi-districts to pool their money and provide better special ed, better tech, et cetera, et cetera.
Absolutely.
I mean, I got companies, I'm into one of my companies, Edutone. I know it just sold to a lot of the Pennsylvania United School districts, et cetera. Yeah.
Good.
So what are they in Pennsylvania there?
Intermediate units.
Thank you, intermediate. I remember which one. They're all different everywhere else.
They
are. Now, you know, all right, talk to me for a second, okay, with Arfstrom Consulting. Talk to me for a second about networking. How important is networking?
Oh, Larry, I completely and totally agree with the concept of networking. I know for some people it's a little bit difficult, and it doesn't have nothing to do if you're extrovert or introvert. It's just putting your hand out there and introducing yourself. When I moved here to Washington many years ago, I made a pointed effort. I actually read a book on how to network, and I have followed that. I walk into a room, and it's not who's the top dog there that you have to meet. Because a lot of time you have the most interesting conversations that lead to something with just someone who is standing on the side, you know, line as well. But you know what? I have a couple lines, and I think everyone should have some lines that, you know, you practice, that you walk into a room, you know, I stick my hand out. I have a kind of unusual name. You know, no one else has my name. So that, you know, I just state my name. And then
So you're suggesting that people should use your name?
No, well, if they want to do some work for me, we can talk about that.
Well, I'm Kari Arstrom.
Exactly.
Right.
But then I have two lines that I use. And if I think I may have met the person before, if the person is in the education field, I'll just say, "Hi, I'm Kari Arstrom. Have we met before?" A simple line like that. And people say, "You look familiar." Nope, I don't think so. They'll offer their name back. You know, they'll say, "Hey, I'm
right.
Jacob.
I
think we've met before."
Way to say
yeah.
It.
You know,
like
and
it.
If I know I do not know the person before, then you know what? People like to talk about themselves. So a lot of times I'll just say, "That's a very interesting pin," or "Tell me about your tie," or just compliment the person in some way. And they'll just jump right in and start talking, you know? And so they're simple tricks, but they seem to work for me. And, you know, I can work the room, come away, and have some great stories to tell. If I'm there for a particular reason, I'll try to accomplish that. If I need to talk to someone or need to introduce people, I'm fabulous at introducing people. And I think that's part of my skill. Mm-hmm. I am.
It is a skill. A lot of people don't realize that. For instance, my opening line is usually, do you think I look like Brad Pitt? Most people do. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, I think introductions, you know, is part of what my role is in networking, is to say, hey, I just met someone that might be interesting for you, you know, or put two and two together. I'm forever sending out emails where the subject line is introduction.
Exactly,
you know,
exactly.
So, and, you know,
and
someone meet someone.
And this is what's important and what's going to make a big difference in what you're doing now with Arstrom Consulting.
It sure is.
You know so many people, Kari, for goodness
well,
sake.
Well, I can always meet more people. That's the great thing.
Absolutely, and I hope people do. We're going to leave now, but I hope you had a good time. I did.
Well, absolutely. Thank you, Larry. I really appreciate the time to talk with you. It's always good to catch up, share a little bit about what I'm doing, and, you know, hopefully something will come of this. It's our own personal networking time.
Well, you and I are going to be having a little chat. I want to follow up with you and see where things are going and all that sort of stuff. I just think you're right on target here, Kari. I'll let you leave it. Is there anything else you would like to say? Contact information or anything like that?
People can find me online. You already gave it, arfstrom.net, and it's my last name, .net, and you can get to the blog from there as well as my LinkedIn page.
Mm-hmm.
And my email address is also there. But I just want to wish you and Carolyn a happy, wonderful holiday and happy New Year and all good things for 2012.
Well, the same to you, my good friend.
Thank
the same
you,
to you.
Thank
and I wish you so well in this.
Thank
and actually,
you.
I want to bring you on a number of times in 2012, and I want you talking about some of the things you're doing and the way you're seeing the world of education. Can I, World Futurist, will you come on and talk about these things?
I will, and just quickly, because I know time is running out, I am actually taking a class at the University of Houston in January and getting a certification in this area, so I'd love to come on after that class and talk about what I learned and
When is the class?
The 8th through the 13th of January.
And what is the class in?
A certificate in futuring. Dr. Peter Bishop is teaching it. He's a well-known person in this field, and he's at the University of Houston, and I'm heading there for 5 days.
Kari, you have a wonderful time in Houston, and I tell you right now, we're going to book you back on for January 20th at noontime, and you can tell us about all the wonderful things you did in Houston. That was Kari Arfstrom at www.arfstrom.net, true educational futurist. We'll be back with her on January 22nd, and we'll see you tomorrow morning with Michelle Ludula, my favorite librarian in the whole wide world, talking about ebooks. This is Larry Jacobs, Education Talk Radio. Listen again at education-talkradio.org. Thanks for listening.